On the eve of voting day, our team of six international observers arrives in the small municipality of Sapalache, capital of the remote rural district of Carmen de la Frontera. The electoral committee is bustling around their temporary office making final preparations. Only 50 kilometers from the northern border of Peru with Ecuador, a large-scale mining district has been staked out in these rugged Andean mountains, in which small-scale agriculture and animal husbandry are primary ways of life. Three area districts will go to the polls tomorrow, and our delegation of about two dozen observers has been divided up between them.
Los alcaldes han pedido este servicio.
We've been invited by the district mayor, says Brigitte, in order to ensure smooth and transparent operation of the referendum. Brigitte is a German nun and part of our multinational crew, which includes representatives from Ecuador, Peru, Canada, and Spain. Luis Salazar, member of the technical team for the electoral committee. He thanks us for coming and motions us to the long wooden table where 25 cardboard boxes stand open.
Consulta vecinal El Carmen de la Frontera.
The referendum question. Are you in agreement with mining activity in the district of Carmen de la Frontera? Voters will have the option of yes or no. Inspired by deep-seated conflict, in which two campesinos have already been killed, many obstacles have had to be faced for this referendum to take place. Our first stop the day before, while we were still with the full delegation, was the police station in the regional capital of Piura. Election materials on their way to the district of Carmen de la Frontera have been seized. This is part of allegations by the national government that the vote is illegal.
Como defensor de la legalidad y director de la investigación policial,
a lawyer for the communities speaks to the press. He says that the attorney's office has made a favorable decision, that there's no reason for the seizure. The material does not contain any subversive content. We wait, however, until the ombudsman arrives to ensure that the election materials continue on their way to the highlands. Back on the bus, Julio Castro, from the civil society organization Piura Life and Water, gives us some insight into the conflict. The Ministry of Energy and Mines, he explains, has authority to give companies mineral rights, which refer to extensive areas in which people are living and practicing agriculture. But mineral rights don't include surface rights. When companies then approach the communities, he says, people say, but just a minute, this is my land, the land of my grandparents. This is where my life is. I'm not going to sell. And that's exactly what has happened. Two campesino communities have refused rights to their land from Minera Majas, a joint UK and Chinese-owned company. Its Rio Blanco project could become the first in a large-scale mining district. Although the decisions were made in formal assemblies of each community and are recognized by the ombudsman's office, they're not being respected by the company, which has strong support from the government. Now, after many protests, the communities believe that the referendum will be a peaceful and legitimate way to be heard. But it's complicated, says Julio, by the government's smear campaign that paints the campesinos as violent and ignorant. They know better than the urbanites, however, he adds. They value and respect nature and water, noting that headwaters from the highlands serve the coast, and that the area contains fragile and diverse ecosystems. El Carmen de la Frontera is a day's journey by bus from the coast and out of reach of most press. Luis Salazar has passed the last month and a half in the district, and he wants to dispel the fears being preyed upon. When I receive occasional calls from the press in Lima, he says, they ask me what's going on. Nothing, he replies. All's well. There's a chicken to one side of me and a pig to the other. Complete tranquility, he says, gently poking fun at urban prejudice. The company turned down the invitation to participate, but Luis says they've had their yes campaign as well. Most notably, a few weeks ago, the company offered to create a privately managed $80 million local development fund. But the communities turned it down, saying their health is priceless, and that this is an attempt to buy their consent. Now, with voting day only a few hours away, People are arriving, and Luis extends a warm welcome to us and to all the press that will come. We feel supported, he says.
There's really a global debate on these issues about how mining activity should be regulated and what are the rights of local communities.
Canadian professor David Sablowski from York University is author of the recently published book entitled Transnational Law and Local Struggles. His field research looks at community, company, and state conflicts in Peru and led him to reflect on the layers of regulation pertaining to collective rights.
At one point, I call it a global policy arena, in that you have different sites in the world where these issues are being contested. So you have, for example, an independent review of the World Bank's involvement in funding the extractive industries, oil mining and gas. It's called the Extractive Industries Review. And of course, they uncovered huge problems in a great many instances. And that process came out with a recommendation that there be free, prior, and informed consent of local and indigenous communities before mining activity would be allowed to take place. Now, from the World Bank's perspective, that would only be a condition that the bank could put on its borrowers.
But when the World Bank adopted the Equator Principles, they didn't go so far in the question of consent.
The norm they've adopted is free, prior, and informed consultation leading to broad community support.
Other commercial banks have also adopted similar principles. The advisory group from the 2006 Corporate Social Responsibility Roundtables on Canadian Extractive Industries also made similar recommendations to the Canadian government. Others, however, such as the International Labour Organization, the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, and most recently the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, uphold the right to consent. Sablowski explains the difference.
Consent is the right to say no. And that's really what's being battled over, and that's why the World Bank has been short of agreeing to consent as a standard.
Some of those battlegrounds are places like Carmen de la Frontera, Ayabaca, and Pacaypampa. People here see their livelihoods at risk, and despite the powerful odds against them, they're heading to the polls. From inside the electoral office, we can hear occasional cheers from the Central Park, where hundreds of people are milling about, awaiting the results. Our observer delegation, together with several dozen press and local authorities, are watching the electoral team collect the acts and compute the results. The day has passed without incident. The ronderos, campesino organizations responsible for security in these remote areas, ensured that no incidents took place.
Total de votos.
The votes have been tallied. Turnout was strong. Over 3,000 voted, or about 60% of the electorate. In other districts, participation ranges from 50 to 70%. 2,825, or 93%, vote no to mining activity here. 73 are in favor. Across all three districts, the average is 94% opposed. The press quickly moves into place as the mayor heads to the balcony overlooking the park to make his announcement.
Estimados pobladores del Carmen de la Frontera.
It's been a tough journey, and it's far from over. However, the mayor is proud of his electorate and greets them with deep thanks.
Quiero agradecerles la presencia.
He expresses particular gratitude for the peaceful way in which they've chosen their own form of development.
A las urnas, a emitir y a escoger su propio nivel de desarrollo. Estimados amigos, no ha decidido el alcalde.
Dear friends, concludes the mayor. The mayor has not decided. You have. However, the decision won't be accepted, not anytime soon. Within 2 weeks, the government will pass a law declaring 20 new mining projects as national priorities, including Rio Blanco. But the results will also be a reference point fortifying local resistance. And while other local votes continue taking place across Latin America, this has become part of efforts toward greater democracy and a day when development questions, narrowly framed around megaprojects, will be brought into open debate. And it can be accepted that the answer is sometimes no. For the Green Planet Monitor, I'm Jennifer Moore in Piura, Peru.